Health and Education Committee meeting to order for December 1st. Before we continue, I just want to remind everyone to turn on their microphones so that people calling in can hear you. Let's see. Paul, would you give us the Pledge of Allegiance?
To the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Could I have a motion to approve the November 3rd meeting minutes?
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Carried. Dr. Chapman, good morning.
Morning, everybody.
Morning.
Morning.
Can't believe it's December 1st already.
Yeah.
I've got contracts for this next year, 2022. They're all renewals from this year, but I'll run you down through and give you some of the highlights. Up at the top of the page are contracts that we have with local agencies to provide services such as housing, residential programs, peer support and advocacy, substance abuse prevention, and programs for persons with developmental disabilities. As you can see, money comes in from the state. It passes through our agency as a local government unit, and we pass it on to the providers. In the third column, you'll see in some of those instances, there's a county share. It's important to point out to you that that county share, we didn't make any increases. So that dollar amount is the same from this year going into next. The rest of the service contracts on the page are with other local agencies and individual providers that we have contracts with. The dollar amounts in most cases have stayed the same. There's some small increases. One exception to that is our contract that we have with Pathways. In Pathways contract, we increase that amount by $445,000. Reason for that is they've hired four additional staff to work in various programs we have grant funding to support those positions with. So all the contracts that are listed on this page are included in the 2022 budget. Looking to get your permission to enter into service contracts as listed on the page.
I make the motion.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Carried.
Can I ask a question?
Sure.
The grant funding one with for $400,000 with Pathways, was that a service we were providing before elsewhere, or is that a new service that's now being provided?
It's to increase services provided that we already had, like in our crisis program, our crisis outreach program, our general clinic, also the drug treatment court. That actually is a new, that would be an example of a service that we weren't providing in the past, but we are now.
So join the meeting.
If the grant ends, do we continue with the service at our own cost?
Correct. The positions are sustainable and that the services that are provided are all billable.
Okay.
But that would be something that you would see in your budget process. You would see the revenue go away. And then, you know, if you had significant concerns about, you know, like Dr. Chapman said, we would project revenue against that. But if you had concerns, certainly that would be a discussion point then.
I guess my only other concern is when he says the word billable, we don't always collect everything that we bill.
There is a challenge with that. We do pretty well last I checked, but there always is a concern about the uncollectibles.
Yeah, there's, you know, to the credit of my business office, they spend a great deal of time working with the insurance companies when they deny payments. So that's something we focus a lot of attention on. But you're correct. It is a challenge. Do we get 100% of the money for the services we provided? No, but we get the majority of it.
Okay.
Kelly?
What percentage of that billable amount would be Medicaid?
Approximately about 60 to 65%. Yeah, our client enrollment, majority of folks, about 65% have Medicaid as their primary insurance.
Bob, you have a question?
Yeah. Hank, on additional contract services, the lines there, how much of that do we get from the state to reimburse these bills? Or is this the county eating all this?
I'm not prepared. I could give you the actual numbers, but we still get a significant amount of funding from Office of Mental Health, okay, Office of Alcohol and Substance Abuse that go into our that help support our general clinic services. So many, not all, but many of the people listed, the individual service contractors listed, work as part of our clinic and or substance abuse program. So state funding would help.
Yeah. In addition to the bill. I was just looking at a wild figure, if it's 50%, 75% or whatever, you know, just, I don't need the exact number. I just kind of a, does the state pick up half of this or don't you really know?
No, it's not as high as half. I would say it's probably more closer to a quarter or a little better than a quarter.
But then we can also bill for the services of our psych and others.
We would bill the insurance companies too. Okay.
Yeah, correct. It's Medicaid as well as all the private insurances, the Blue Cross, Blue Shield, and others.
Yeah. Okay.
And that quarter hasn't changed year over year.
No, it's the changes have been insignificant.
Okay.
It's been pretty steady for us for many years.
Any other questions, Kelly?
Could you give us a rough idea of the percentage of increase in need for the services over the last 2 years, as far as percentage of patients that you're seeing?
There has been an increase, if not to enrollment numbers, which we have seen, but what we're seeing is more the severity of cases has increased. A lot of the folks that we work with are much more needy than they have been in the past. But to answer your question, Kelly, I think I'd be safe to say that we've seen probably a 15% increase in enrollment. But where we've seen more of an increase is the amount of time that goes into many of the cases to try and help the families.
John, do you have a question?
Yeah, on the programs that are grant funded, are we also doing third party billing where it's available?
Yeah, absolutely. For those services? Yes.
So does that just reduce the state funding at that point?
What this is it's one time only funding. The you know, whatever term we want to, you know, start up funding, and so that does not reduce the amount that we've gotten. We get that amount stays whole, but it's time limited. It's just for a year. It's over a 2 year period.
So we're still billing for the services.
Correct.
On top of that. Okay.
Any other questions? Thank you. We already made the motion in second, so you're all set. Thank you, Dr.
All right, great. Thank you.
Kathy, good morning.
Good morning. I am here to request approval to enter in my contracts for 2022 as well. I have eight of them, and slight increases. Anybody have any questions?
Second.
Any other questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
We used them all up on Hank, I guess.
I know, I'm sitting here going, wow.
So it's important to go second. It really is.
Remember that, Amanda, when you're mad at Hank.
Kathy, are you going to talk about Adoption Day?
Oh, Adoption Day. Yeah, just thank you, Chairman, for the proclamation. We're doing it a little different, obviously, because of COVID, but Adoption Day is in December this year. And we have, I didn't bring it with me. We've got, did you bring the numbers with you? I walked right out without them.
Tell what my brain is on. We I just did it. Sorry, just a second. So we have six right here.
12 year to date. We have six scheduled for adoption day, which will be the 15th of December. And then we have another six in the queue. So we've had a really full year of a lot of generosity, not just with adoptions, but with donations from the community. I mentioned that before last month, but we've got even more coming in for Christmas this year. It's just, it's overwhelming to hear the public respond to the needs of the kids. So, and we're really excited. I mean, this is probably a banner year for adoption. So if it'll be by Zoom, because they're only allowing so many in the courtroom. The adoptions themselves will be in the courtroom, but we can Zoom in through Teams. And we're putting together a slideshow afterwards that we'll send to all of you. So thank you for your support on that. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Kathy. Darlene, good morning.
Good morning. I just have a couple of things this morning, looking for your approval to accept another kind of like part two of the COVID vaccine response grant. I asked for approval a couple of months ago for, I think it was a little over $100,000. And the state has now added another $169,415. The main purpose of the grant is for, of course, to increase vaccination rate, community outreach, communication. We're going to do it locally as well as a regional approach.
I'll move it.
Do we have a second?
Second.
Any questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Aye. Carried.
Thank you. The next one is I have two different new contract requests. One is with Arkport Central School. This will be paid for out of the ELC COVID school screening testing money. You may recall when I was given the very large grant to provide screening testing in all of the schools, the only way to really accomplish that is I did enter into a separate contract with a temp agency for a travel nurse who travels to all the districts and oversees that testing. However, Arkport hired their own nurse. And so they're just, you know, billing back the time that she spends on that. So it'll come out of that grant money. And then the other one is a preschool contract with Carrie Welty. She's a speech language therapist in Big Flats.
I make the motion.
Second.
Any questions?
I got a question. On preschool contracts there for language, 35 group, is that $35 for the session or 35 per student that's there in the group?
It's we pay for any students in that group that are our students in that group.
Okay, so it'd be 35 per person in the group. Okay, that's all I want to know.
Okay.
Any other questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
Okay. And then lastly, you have in front of you the monthly vaccination report for Steuben County. I don't know if there's any questions on that or not.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Darlene. Good morning, Patty.
Good morning. The first thing that I have on my agenda is the approval for the Advisory Council volunteer luncheon that we do every year. We budget for it. It's a catered event, and we serve about 23 people and three staff members, and I'm looking for approval to spend up to $500 for that event.
I make the motion.
Any questions for Patty? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Aye. Carried.
Thank you. The next should be very familiar to you. It's my contracts for 2022. 2021 was kind of a wild year. We got an infusion of a lot of extra funds, which we tried to get out the door as best we could. And some of that is allowed to be carried over for next year. So you'll see reflected in the contract amounts if we were not able to spend it in 2021, we wherever possible, we carried it over. The demand is great, but as you well know, the workforce is really challenging for us. We've done some creative things with incentives, and it still is very hard to move the dial on that waiting list for home care, which is currently about 90. We worked very closely with the contracted agencies to incentivize and retain staff. Another problem that we dealt with was we're down one full-time case manager. So when we had the money in the contract, we were ready to, push the go button, but it was really a capacity issue internally. So we have a temp position in for that case manager. So I expect that gridlock will kind of ease up a little bit. I'll also call your attention to the employment services contract, which is on line 7. That actually for 2022 is $233,776. And that is that temporary caseworker. We used unmet need funds to supplement the manpower to drive that program. We also worked this year to consolidate employment contracts so that we didn't have so many fragmented contracts. So they all kind of land in that IHS employment services contract. The big drivers are home care, transportation, and nutrition. Those are the big focus areas for us. That's usually where the need is. And the additional funding has allowed us to strengthen the programs and create that infrastructure that will allow for future growth. The challenge is that we don't know about sustainability of funds in subsequent years. So we really tried to, make the most of the funds that we did get this year and next year to make sure we were positioned well for the future. So I would be happy to try to answer any questions you have about any of those contracts.
Do we have a motion?
I'll move it. Second.
Any questions, Hilda?
So, Patty, you said there are 90 people on the wait list for home care. So do you know what these people are doing in the meantime?
That is a very good question. So this year, you might remember that we got approval from the State Office for the Aging to do a pilot program to put some of the people from our waiting list onto Full Circle America so they weren't just sitting there without services. So that's the in-home telemonitoring program. And the added value to that is the case manager support, that whatever comes up in a senior's life, the caseworker tries to help them problem solve. So that's a one-year pilot, which ends March of 2022. They allowed us to have 5 people for a year, and we finally got all 5 enrolled, and we asked permission for another 8, and they did allow us to do that. The beauty of that is that money would otherwise just be sitting there unspent because of workforce and case management and everything else that goes into it. So it allows us to get data on how those two programs work together, the traditional ISIP with the Full Circle America. And I suspect that after March 31st of 2022, they will allow us to do this permanently with the ancillary funds that are allowed under the home care program. We're allowed up to 33% of that allocation to be spent on ancillary services. And so far, it's been really interesting. People who were resistant to technology in their home find out that it's really not as scary as they thought when they have somebody holding their hand. And it allows, every client has an Echo Show, so they're allowed to participate in Bone Builders or whatever. They connect with family. So I think this really could be the wave of the future to support those people when there is a shortage of manpower.
But there's still people who need hands-on care.
That's right.
And that's not going to solve that problem.
Right. I always say that Full Circle America is not a substitution for that that hands-on care that people need. So we do screen those clients carefully to make sure we understand what is driving their challenges. But I think that with the added support of Full Circle America, the family members feel less stressed and they're able to fill in those gaps willingly if they feel like they're not in it alone. That's just kind of a phenomenon that I've just been watching.
Patty, I know Full Circle America was really the pioneer, I think, in our area. Are there other counties that are doing a similar programs?
You know, a few years ago, Dr. Teal was the keynote speaker. He was the founder of Full Circle America. He was the keynote speaker at our aging conference. And there was a lot of chatter, a lot of interest of counties to adopt that program for their own. I don't know of any county in the state other than us that has it. And I think the difference for our county was the forward thinking to have a Steuben Senior Services Fund, because it is the burden of creating that program is too much to put right under Office for the Aging with all the mandated traditional services. So that complementary arm really allowed us to, ramp it up quickly. And the other thing, I have to give kudos to Linda Teeter, because she, you all know, she's a visionary, but she had the depth of experience to understand what the hurdles were that we would have to overcome. So we have a template that other counties can adopt this, and we would love to see that happen. But it's a heavy lift for a traditional OFA to create a program like that. But I think it would be easier for them now, because we've got the war wounds that could really, those other counties could benefit from. But we'd like to see it expand more.
So how many residents do we have on this program now?
We have 5 currently on the pilot project. There's probably about another 22, I believe, on the traditional, on the regular Full Circle America. But that has been a challenge, because they have to fundraise to really cover those costs if somebody can't afford to private pay. And you very well know the challenges of technology, that hurdle of getting internet for a senior citizen in their home when they never had any need for it before has been challenging. But that pilot project has allowed us the flexibility for people who could not afford the internet. We could put that in there too.
Scott, you had a question?
Yeah. It's not a lot of money, but as far as the agencies that are getting additional COVID funding in 2022, do they understand that it's a temporary thing and not to come looking for it in the following year if it's not additional funding that we receive?
We always have that conversation. We have it a lot, and they have a good understanding of that. The feedback is that they understand it and they're very grateful. Without that funding, they make do and they figure out how to get it done. But this has really been a blessing and definitely needed when the world was upended with COVID. And the flexibility too, that has really helped us where we could adjust the sales as needed as we go.
Any other questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Carried.
Thank you.
Thanks, Patty. Nate, good morning.
Good morning. We're requesting this morning to add 5 raise the age positions to DSS. They were done in your budget process. They are in the budget. And I apologize, we normally list out the titles and salaries, but things were going quickly at the time of the agenda. So I do have that information here for you. And of course, Kathy is here to answer any specific questions. The titles are it's a case supervisor grade B, 1 senior caseworker, 2 caseworkers, and 1 senior social welfare examiner. And would you like me to read I have a listing of the salaries I can hand out, or I can read them to you, however you'd like that, or, I have salary ranges, so. Here, we can do this.
While you're doing that, are we going to be able to fill those positions?
That's the hope. Yeah, actually, most of those were actually fairly successful filling.
Nate.
Oh.
Thanks.
So could I just ask where these people are going to be housed?
In DSS, we have space for them.
We may have discussed it in the budget meeting, but I'm sorry, I forgot it. Why now, when Raise the Age has been in place for a couple of years?
Kathy can probably better answer, but Raise the Age is kind of a multi-year implementation.
Oh, okay.
She could answer more specifically.
So we have we've planned these in the budget for the last couple of years. We have budgeted for these positions for the last couple of years as Raise the Age has been implemented, and as law enforcement agencies are getting more accustomed to the Raise the Age legislation and the rules and statute, then we're going to be seeing more and more kids. So we're going to fill these positions incrementally only as we need them as well. And the other advantage of doing this is we can draw down the Raise the Age funding attached to these positions, which is 100%. So while we're going to start initially with a senior caseworker, and then we're going to see how that goes, that caseworker will also be working with our child advocacy center as well. So we'll draw down additional funding there. So, you know, I think the time is right to create these titles so that we're prepared. And again, we're not filling positions just arbitrarily. We're going to fill them as we need them.
Kelly, do you have a question?
So we currently have, I'm sorry.
Go ahead, Steve.
Go ahead.
What's the case? So currently we have two, Raise the Age and one in the queue.
Kathy, what is a brief synopsis of the various services that we're going to provide at this level and these positions?
So we're going to be doing preventive services when kids are coming into care and in facilities, working with families, getting families to the facilities to engage in therapy, to work with the child while they're in the facility. We'll do stuff at home with the parents. We'll do stuff individually with the kids.
What is the age range for this?
16, 17
year olds. And so it's like it's similar services that you provide, but this would be a concentrated group that serves only specific clients.
These are, yes. And these are kids that are in the juvenile justice system that have, you know.
Thank you.
Do we have a motion?
I'll move it.
Second.
Any other questions?
How many kids do we have in this, roughly?
Join the meeting.
So currently we have two and one in the queue. Okay. And again, we're not just going to utilize these positions in Raise the Age. We're going to use them in other areas so that we can maximize not only revenues, but services. I mean, I will tell you, in our Child Advocacy Center alone this year, we've done upwards of 220 interviews. It's growing exponentially. Yes.
Any other questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
Thank you.
Jack, do you have anything? The only other, I had a couple of things I just wanted to mention. The chairman had asked for a final report for the Human Services, Health, and Education Committee 2021 goals. And I'll just remind you what our goals were. The first goal we had was to leverage the public relations function of Steuben County by featuring one department bi-monthly to highlight the work of our departments. And we have done that successfully. We had the first press release that went out was the Steuben Mental Health. Second one was Office of the Aging. Third one was public health. And the last one was DSS. And Mary Parham was kind enough to pull together some numbers that we had posts that would people would look at and on the social media. And we were looking at like tens of thousands because they covered she covered so many areas. And so I just want to give kudos to Mary for pulling together those numbers and for dispensing the information. Our second goal was to utilize employees from other departments with expertise in specific areas to assist departments that don't have the personnel and are in need of support. And I think Darlene was the winner on this one. She used so many people during COVID. And and the youth and government used that office, that area. An Office of the Aging considered their offer of grief and caregiving to support to families with COVID. So I'm very pleased with the results of our goals and ask if anybody's got any questions.
No, I would just commend you guys for the job you did. I think it's important that when we set goals, we don't forget about them. Because a lot of places do that. So the reason I kept asking every quarter was that so they're current, they're well known, and that they get completed.
Just a couple of other things I wanted to talk about. I don't know if anyone saw it, but on TV, I think it was yesterday, Jack Wheeler and Darlene Smith received the City of Corning's Chamber of Commerce Award. So congratulations on that for both of you.
Yeah, credit to Darlene, her staff, and you know all the agencies, you folks. I mean, the whole team. It's really not about us; it's about the team.
Yeah, that was nice.
Under 40. Yeah, that was great.
Last but not least, I wanted to thank Gary Roush for serving on the Health and Human Services Committee meeting and for representing the residents of the town of Irwin at the county. So thank you, Gary, and we appreciate your efforts.
You're welcome. It's the culmination of 32 years of public service. I think it's time to hang it up. So appreciate working with all of you, and sorry I cannot be there in person. Being a full-time caretaker for someone is not much of your time is of your own. So I try my best to stay involved as much as I can. And again, thank you very much, and I appreciate it.
Thank you, Gary.
Thanks, Gary.
Thank you. Yep.
Any other business? Do we have a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Aye. Carried. Thank you.